man ikke træner om for kold. Man rigtig, ja, man rigtig så der om så godt for mig.
Absolut.
Thank you.
is from the brain, from the
You're muted for a moment. Where do you get?
I said, a place from honorable member Rubella,
has got those reasons. It's only yesterday, I still left you to in the new letter. And they are placed on the files by the secretary. They are available for you. They could be shared with you if you require them. But we don't have that practice of outlining every reason when we sit like this. As long as we know that there has been a formal apology, then what we do, we simply acknowledge it when we open the meeting. So that's how we have been doing things here this far. So I'm saying that it's not a problem. They will be shared with you. There's nothing secretive about that. That you have full access to them to get the reasons. And if you have any issue with the reasons that are provided, you can always raise it on matters arising in a meeting that succeeds this one. So on that basis, then, I want us to proceed.
No, it's fine, but then,
okay, honorable Magwala. DM, sorry about that.
Magwala, so good. גברתי, ניתן על
Honorable, yes, Honorable Mabato.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just 2 points, Chairperson. Okay, I would love you to call Mangwenya to order, in as much as Mangwenya is a House Chairperson. But she's not a House Chairperson in a committee meeting. In a committee meeting, every member has got a right to speak, to rise on a point of order. We can't be out like that when we speak, when we raise legitimate issues. Honorable Magwala is correct to say we've got to understand why do we have so many apologies today. We always point out if we are having network problems or if it's due to ill health. We've got to understand if members have abandoned this committee to fly back home because they can't find flights after this time. Number two, we are not told with so many apologies if we do meet a quorum. We're just rushing to start a meeting. Chairperson, I think as members of this committee, we need to be taken serious. We are not in some sort of an arrangement here. When we find time and space to come and listen to you and the department and deliberate on issues, it's because we are sent here by our own parties to come and participate. So we can't be harassed by any other party which feels that they dominate the committee. So those were my few points, Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mabato. Your points are quite noted, and we understand where you come from. And I think we'll deal with that matter when we consider item number two, if members still want to ventilate on it. But at this point in time, the manner in which we're constituted, I think I looked at the numbers of the members that are in attendance, and I think we have full authority to interface and interact with what will be presented to us. And we will then deal with the other matters which relate to internal arrangements when we consider item number two. So I don't know, Honorable Robert, your hand is still up. I think it's a...
No, it's a legacy hand, Chair.
It's a legacy hand. Okay, thank you so much. Having said that, Honorable Members, I want to take this opportunity now to invite the Deputy Minister of Public Enterprises, Honorable Obed Mapela, to lead the presentation. He is going to provide the preface to what we are here for, of the details which will be given to us by the board and the management of DINEP, the main thrust of why we have gathered today, to hear how this entity performs, what are the challenges, what are the opportunities to turn it around, and so on and so forth. DM, I now invite you to migrate to the podium to address this committee. Over to you, Honorable Obed Mapela.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Zolani Mkiva, and all members of the Select Committee on Public Enterprise and Communications present. The chairperson of the DINEL board, Gloria Sorobe, was present, and all other board members who might have joined. And then also greetings to the management led by Group CEO Acting, Mr. Mike Hove, and then all the DPE officials that are accompanying. Chair, we have been invited by ourselves to come and present the state of affairs in as far as DINEL is concerned. And indeed, we are here to do so. But as practice, usually when there's a board, we do not speak long because the board chairperson will be the one then that goes into the content preparations and also introducing the management after I've spoken, obviously through your chairing. Chair, DINEL is on the recovery path, and indeed it has turned the corner. All positive signs are now in place that we are going somewhere, the direction. and the future is bright. We obviously, as they present, they will then show you the path in which we are traveling from stabilizing the company, which was on ground zero, towards sustaining it, and then the last phase will be the growth path in terms of it going back to its glory days and performance and so forth. The challenges of Denel, I think, ought to be noted by members, and they are well known to all by all South Africans. Corruption was the biggest activity that really collapsed the company to ground zero, as I always say. And an evidence of such corruption, I think, was documented also in the state capture commission, known as the Zondo Commission. Members can continuously from time to time refer to that, and you will see how big that corruption was. It has really destroyed the company to a level where it was not able to pay salaries for a period, and then workers who are professionals, because they really specialize in professional skills, some of them have left to join greener pastures elsewhere in the world. And then others went into the industry and then so forth. Now, getting them back is a challenge. I think it will also be indicated in the report. With those departure of the skills, they are now rebuilding. And I think the turnaround plan, which will be presented as to what it is, how it's been operationalized, how is it helping in the restructuring and the building, how is it stabilizing its finances, how their capital recapitalization of the 3.4 billion rand, which was announced by the minister in the medium budget policy statement in October last year, is now beginning to make things easier. But the money only arrived at Denel this year in March, then 28th of March. And it's only now that it's flowing into the system. So from April, May, it is only when Denel was now beginning to fulfill its obligation to pay the salaries that were due to the workers and so forth. The board is in place, led by Ms. Gloria, as Robert earlier indicated. And in the management, obviously, is still acting management at the top, the group CEO and the group CFO. They'll also be telling you that. And all the challenges that are still there, they'll also be indicative, including the issue of the annual report, I mean, not annual report, the Auditor General's not having done the audit reports, but what is now the progress around that issue, it will also be indicated as part of the challenges. And the recruitment of staff, obviously, to make sure that there's a permanency at the level of the staff, it will also be indicative. But with that, Chair, I'll therefore say that will be my opening remarks, but the board chair will then go into further details. Thank you very much. Everything I'm done.
Thank you very much, DM, for those. Who wish to invite Mayor Gloria
Recording Sunday stopped.
To lead the board in making this presentation to this committee. Merci, Robert.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairman. I thought I must put my camera a little bit, even though it's a burden on the network loading. So, but just to show that I'm not a robot. And now that I've presented my face, if you don't mind, Chairman, I can switch off the camera again and go into the presentation. Let me thank you very much for inviting us. I hope I am audible because I keep losing the chairman. I don't know if I'm the only one. But let me thank you very much for inviting us today to present the status of Denel. We are in a little bit of a better space now. We have been in this committee.
Recording in progress.
When things were very tough. And I want to, even before we start, to really appreciate the support from DPE, our shareholder department, and also this committee and other committees of parliament, because we have been given a lot of support. That's why we are where we are. And we had to look up to the shareholder and also the government to help us fiddle with this thing of correcting what is a distorted DNL. And so I'm showing appreciation for that. And to say that even when we do get reprimands and questions, we take that as being constructive. And so we always look forward to coming to these committee meetings. I will not waste the time. I'm going to ask the CEO to take us through that, other than to say, Chairman, that there is stability now. The board is stable, and the board is steering the ship, supporting the management to do what's best for DNL. We have suffered the loss of skills at some point. We'll be able to recoup them, because interestingly, DNL is a prestigious company to work for. And for engineers and all those very bright people, this is the place to be. We think that now that we don't have a liquidity problem, we will be able to get back most of those skills and take back DNL to where it was. The downside, though, Chairman, is that we have lost the skills also not so much about our liquidity problems. We have lost the skills because the whole world is looking up to DNL for skills. And so we have lost them really out of competitiveness for not being able to deliver dollar salaries and current accounts in other countries. We can't do much about that. We can only do what we have in terms of our own environment, in terms of how good it is. And so with that, Chairman, I want to hand over to the CEO and to take us through the presentation. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I think we can do exactly that and hand over to the acting CEO to lead us now into the details of the presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the chair of the board. My name is Mike Kobe. I'm the interim group CEO, as introduced. And sitting with me is Thandeka Sabela. She is the interim group chief financial officer. And we will take you through the presentation and the questions. Through you, Chair, I will switch off the camera and then just focus on the presentation. Thank you. I think it's always important to just reflect on the role of DNL. As we know, DNL is a state-owned, commercially driven company and a strategic partner for innovative defense and security-related technology solutions. I think very importantly is that DNL's primary purpose is to design, to develop, to manufacture, and to support prime mission equipment or defense material that remains critical to the South African National Defense Force. DNL derives its mandate from the Defense Review Policy of 2015. Which tasks DNL with the responsibility of looking after sovereign and strategic capabilities that ensure security of supply to the South African Air Force and also, the South African Defence Force, and also ensures that it remains independent and not dependent on foreign suppliers. That is a critical role that DNL plays in terms of national security interests. If we move to the next slide, just to reflect on the capabilities of DENEL, to say that we are active in the different battle spaces within the army, with the landward forces. We support the South African Army as an OEM, original equipment manufacturer, and also provide maintenance and the support of the systems that we have supplied to the Army. That ranges from infantry weapon systems to heavy artillery weapon systems to ground-based defense systems that protect the airspace of the country. The South African Air Force, where some of the prime mission equipment, being the Oryx medium transport helicopter that is utilized widely, especially when there's the humanitarian relief that is required, to the Rafale Falcon Tech helicopter, which gets deployed to enforce peace on the continent, as we've seen with the DRC deployment to the Democratic Republic of Congo, to the providing maintenance support for the air transport capability for the Air Force, being the C-130 aircraft, which is the largest transport aircraft that the Air Force has, that they utilize to transport people and equipment wherever they deploy, to strategic capabilities of missiles, being the air-to-air missile, the anti-tank missile, as well as strategic capabilities that monitor the airspace of the country. With the Navy, within the sea, we don't necessarily are active in the vessels, but we support the infantry weapons, the guns that the Navy uses, the missile, the main missile system that the Navy uses, the non-control missile. We support that, as well as some of the cannons that are there. So as we've seen, the capability remains critical. That is why it was important to sustain the NEL and ensure that it is there to support the defense force going into the future. I think very importantly is the NEL's ability, which has been experienced in the past, to project these capabilities and offer them into the export world, where we have previously secured export orders. As we developed our turnaround plan, you can move to the next slide, please. It was important that we ensured that there was alignment, especially alignment with the key stakeholders within the local environment within South Africa. The Ministry of Defense, through the Council on Defense, where we've presented to the Minister of Defense, the Secretary for Defense, and the Chief of National Defense Force. It was important to align with the Military Command Council, led by the Chief of the Defense Force, as well as AMSCO plays a critical role in terms of contracting for defense equipment for the National Defense Force. And what we have done with AMSCO is we have established a memorandum of understanding that manages and regulates the relationship between us, because ultimately we are both state-owned companies, and our interest is support to the National Defense Force, and it was important that we align in terms of how we support the defense force effectively going forward. I think this slide just details some of the key engagements that we've had, just to create visibility that there has been quite extensive engagement in terms of socializing the turnaround plan that we have, so that it is widely accepted. And obviously, the Department of Public and as the shareholder department, we have had extensive engagements with them, supporting us with our engagements with National Treasury to ensure that there is alignment in terms of sustaining the business going forward. I think, Chairperson, especially from the engagements with National Treasury and with DPE, there has been an establishment of a monthly monitoring committee, which monitors the performance of the NEL, particularly considering that the business has been recapitalized by the shareholder, to ensure that all the conditions are met. Part of that committee, involved in that committee is the DPE chairing the committee, with National Treasury participation, as well as the Department of Defense, because we offer services to the Defense Force, and AMSCO as the contracting agent to ensure that the contracts that AMSCO places on us going forward will be monitored accordingly and be delivered to the Defense Force. If we go to the next slide. So as we developed this turnaround plan, our approach was to have an introspection of reflecting on where we were with the challenges that we had in the past, and to look at the external environment and how we're going to respond to that external environment, have a review of the internal environment in terms of some of the skills that we have lost. How are we going to move forward to the desired state? And I think that moving forward requires a strong leadership. Led by the board, we then developed that turnaround plan. I think the DM alluded to the different phases of the turnaround plan, which talks to a stabilization phase, which seeks to stabilize the organization because the organization was wounded, to a phase of sustaining the business and ensuring that the business is sustained to grow into the future. Just as an indication of some of the stabilization activities that we've been involved in, and as part of the plan, the funding of the turnaround plan was a two-pronged strategy, was internal funding, sourcing of internal funding by the NELF, identifying assets that the business has that the business can identify as non-core, no longer required to support the Defense Force, that they will not impact on the strategic capabilities. And then the other part of the funding plan was the recapitalization. Because where the business was, it was not able to sustain itself just with the internal sourcing. So the recapitalization became important. We made progress in the past year, 2022, where we were able to unlock some of the funding from internal sources. We talk about the Denel Medical Benefit Trust, where we had surplus funds in that medical benefit trust, and we're able to unlock that. And it is through that what we would term the DMBT that we were able to create some stability for the organization, where we had not paid salaries to employees, where we had not paid some of the suppliers that we owed money to, and some of the suppliers wanting to liquidate us. We needed to create stability, stabilize the workforce, pay the backlog of salaries, start to normalize our tax affairs with the receiver of revenue, and start to settle some of the outstanding debt with some of the suppliers that we've had. We were able to stabilize the workforce, and from since around September last year, when we stabilized, we have been able to get people to come back into work, because part of the problem that we had, Chair, was that the people did not have the means to come to work, and we needed to deal with that. That's why it was a priority for us to pay the legacy salaries. Today, as we speak, we have settled all the outstanding salaries, as well as third parties related to the salaries, with payment plans where possible, or rather where negotiated, to settle the balance of it. If we move on to the next slide, please. The turnaround plan looked at the way the organization structured. Today, we are busy implementing this plan. We have six operating divisions within Denel. These six operating divisions are fully fledged operating divisions with the support functions like finance and HR and ICT. Our plan is to rationalize this cost structure, because it is a cost structure, to rationalize the cost structure, to make the cost structure also fit into the revenues that we currently are executing. And it's through that we identified that we can reduce the footprint of the organization to lesser divisions than the six currently that we have, and also to introduce a shared service model that looks at a central function for finance, HR, ICT, and also rationalize some of the enterprise resource planning system that we have, which also makes for easier generation of reporting going forward. So we set up a shared service model that would be led from the NEL head office, and we then rationalized the divisions from the current six that we see to the four. And I'll talk a bit about how that rationalization happens. We'll move to the next slide. So effectively, we went back to our core responsibility in terms of our role and mandate. We are an aerospace and defense company, and it was important that we become a customer-centric in our business models. So we organize ourselves along the different dimensions of the battle space, as we normally term them, into landward capabilities, which primarily support armies or land forces, into air capabilities that primarily support air forces around, not just our air force, but also around the world. And then we had a focus on the missile business, which is a very critical part of the business that needs to be rebuilt, because it was the missile business that we lost a lot of the skills. We created a focused missile a business called Guided Weapons, where we will do what we call precision guided munitions, as well as missiles. And then the fourth division, operating division, being integrated systems, where we do complex integration of engineering solutions. This is as an example where the protection of the airspace through the ground-based air defense system is done through this entity called Integrated Systems Solutions. So the grouping is along those four. What it meant was that we consolidated the other divisions into a landward capability, what we formerly knew as the NEL land systems, the NEL vehicle systems, as well as the NEL PMP, which is the small to medium arms and ammunition. We consolidated into that landward capability under one management with a shared service support function. We then relocated the unmanned aerial vehicle systems capability, where it used to be part of the Denel Dynamics, which is also which housed the missile business. We've consolidated that with the aeronautics business, which is an air capability business. Very similar skill sets in terms of design and development of some of the unmanned aerial vehicles. So we've grouped the skill sets in a similar fashion. We then, as I said earlier, separated the guided weapons so that we have a focus on rebuilding that capability. We're able to deliver missiles to an export country. So the capability exists. It's a rebuilding phase, as DM has said, that we are in the process of. And then the mission is the integrated systems capability. The next slide shows you the groupings of the different of these different entities that I've spoken about, where we have at the center the state-owned company LTD, the legal entity, through its head office, sitting at the center, managing IP, because we know that IP has been an issue in the past, have strong management of the IP, and also manage the relationships with the associate companies and subsidiary companies that we have. Today, as we speak, Chairperson, we have Rheinmetall Denel Munitions, which where we own 49% of that company through a partnership with Rheinmetall of Germany, one of the largest defense companies in Germany that owns the majority of that share, being 51%. Barrage Dynamics is a company that is domiciled in the United Arab Emirates in Abu Dhabi. We have a joint venture with the Edge Group. The Edge Group is similar to the Nell state-owned defense company in the UAE. And there we do the precision-guided munitions. And the third entity being Hensoldt Optronics, local here in South Africa, in Gauteng, where we own 30% of that company. So the Nell SOC is the shareholder representative in those companies, and we continue to participate at the board level and at shareholder level with the other shareholders. And then the structure in those four entities, as we reflect the core capability areas of guided weapons, land, air, and integrated systems, with a common shared services that supports the entities. And all of this is built on a strong governance led by the board with policies and procedures that the company has and customer facing. And this is our rationale, is that we have to be customer centric and have a market facing operating model. If we move on to the next slide. This slide is a bit of a busy slide, Chair, but I think just to summarize it, in terms of the stabilization phase of the business, I spoke about a two-part funding model, where we had identified a need for 5.2 billion cash injection into the business, and that split into the recapitalization, which is the 3.4 that DM spoke about, as well as the sale of non-core assets, which is 1.8. So Denel is bringing to the table 1.8 billion with National Treasury funding, the balance being the 3.4 billion. We have made progress in that, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of the DMBT or the Medical Benefit Trust, where with the 992 million that we received, we're able to stabilize the business and to start to reposition it going forward. In terms of the recapitalization, after extensive engagements with both National Treasury and the Department of Public Enterprises, we substantially met the conditions of the recap. And on the back of that, National Treasury released 55% of the recap. Released the 3.4 billion to Denel, but with the utilization of 55%, because based on the conditions we met 55%, which was substantially met, with the balance still in the Denel account and being monitored by the monitoring committee that I mentioned earlier, as well as a very strong oversight from the board. In the sustained phase, we are stabilizing the business, focusing on the execution of the local orders that we have, focusing on execution of the export orders that we have, to ensure that we don't just have a reliance on the recap fund, as well as the sale of non-core assets, but the operations also start to generate income to be able to sustain itself. As we said, we are largely in between the stabilize and sustain phase. With a journey that we've started towards operational excellence, and it will be a continuous journey going forward. Also, as part of that, with the restructuring into the new model, we had to launch a restructuring in terms of the Labor Relations Act, and we are quite advanced in terms of that restructuring effort, where we through a CCMA facilitated process, we have had engagements with the organized labor as the key stakeholders, as well as representatives of non-unionized employees, to take them through the turnaround plan, the rationale for it, and the need to rationalize the cost base. I would say we are by and large about 90% there, because we have been able to deal with mainly through natural attrition, where we've had some of the resignations that we've had, some of the retirements that we've had, and we introduced a voluntary severance package where we opened up applications for voluntary severance for those employees that wanted to leave. We developed a process of ensuring that through that we are also not disadvantaging the business by letting skills that we will need into the future. So as a management, we have managed that quite tightly. So I think going forward in the next year, we are looking at concluding the Section 189 process by the end of June. We are looking at then finally moving into the new structure that we just presented by the 31st of July, populating that structure, filling critical vacancies, because with some of the departure of skills, we do have the critical vacancies that we need to fill. We need to build the leadership and the capacity at an executive management level. The board is involved in the process of appointment of a group CEO as well as a group CFO, together with a chief audit executive that is going to also ensure that there is checks and balances in terms of internal controls in the business. The last phase, and it's going to be a continuous journey, is to identification, and there is an opportunity pipeline. Maybe let me start off by saying we have identified an opportunity pipeline. That opportunity pipeline, based on the capabilities that we have, we believe is in the order of 30 billion, both local and export. We are engaging the markets. We quite extensively, especially since around November last year, we have been re-engaging with the market to say the net is back, the capabilities are there, and we have had positive feedback in terms of the turnaround that we've developed. So the growth path is going to be anchored on the export opportunities that are there for us to go and convert that into orders to come and execute and continuously sustain the business. If we move on to the next slide. These are the capability areas. Maybe what we will do is we will talk to these capabilities through the numbers when my colleague takes us through the numbers. But to just to at the high level to say that the air capabilities, as I said, relates to the aircraft maintenance and repair, as well as being a design authority or OEM, original equipment manufacturer, for some of the aircraft. We have a test range in the Western Cape next to the Bredasdorp, called the Overberg Test Range. This is where we do test and evaluation of weapon systems, to make sure that they meet the design specifications that were defined. We have also integrated the unmanned aerial vehicle capability into the air capability. Going forward, it will be part of this capability. And I think the iconic Rafale Katank helicopter forms part of this capability. So there's a capability that supports primarily air forces, but can also support other, even in the civil aviation space. We have identified possibilities of doing work there. If we move on to the next slide, please. As I mentioned, Chair, we are focused on rebuilding the guided weapons capability, where We have built world-class missiles, the surface-to-air missiles, which are launched from the surface, from a ship, a sea vessel, to a land vehicle, to standard weapons, that or precision-guided weapons, where we have the technology of making a bomb to fly and to go and hit the target accurately. We will retain that. The air-to-air missiles, which are mounted on our Gripen fighter aircraft for the South African Air Force, we are rebuilding that capability, as well as the surface target missiles. Typically, these are anti-tank missiles that would be shot from a helicopter to tanks on the ground. And the Ingram missile. The Ingram missile is the one I referred to earlier, that we delivered the quite a significant number of Ingram missiles to an export country in December. So it talks to the capability that is still there. With the surface to air missile, we are busy with an upgrade program for a European country which is also on track in terms of our program reviews with the customer. So our focus is to rebuild this capability. It is as we said earlier, it is the one that we had the largest skills loss in, and the part of the rebuilding of it is to do things differently, is to identify core strategic capabilities that we keep internally, is to then look at the those that can be done by local industry, to partner with local industry and work with them whilst we protect the sensitive IP within the NAL. We are progressing quite significantly in terms of that. If you move to the next slide, please. The Lambert capability, which is a significant growth area, basically consolidates three capability areas. We talk about mobility, which is the vehicles and the design of vehicles. We talk about a firepower, which is the guns, and the guns can be the artillery, the big artillery systems. It can be the smaller infantry weapons like your R4s and so forth. We have the full design capability to do that. We have the ability to integrate some of the big guns that we have, like on the G6, onto a vehicle platform, and offer those solutions not just for the South African Defence Force, but to the export world. We require that we've had quite significant success with the G6 in the export world, where we have sold it to three countries outside of South Africa. And the G5, we sold also the G5 to another one country. And as we speak today, there's a lot of interest on the next evolution of the G6, which is the big gun that our National Defense Force has, what we call the T5. It's a self-propelled big gun that can fire quite long distances. There's a lot of interest in that. And we are planning some trials locally here at one of the test ranges that we have owned by the Department of Defense to showcase this capability and also to get extra orders from here. So this business, the third part of this business, Chair, is the small to medium ammunition, which is a GMP business where we produce bullets for small to medium weapons. And the last capability area, if we move to the next slide, is the integrated systems solutions. This deals with the integration of complex systems, sensors. It talks to the ability to move into the civil security space. So part of our repositioning is to have a focus with this entity to deal with civil security solutions, to look at cyber, because cyber attacks are becoming a norm. And this is a capability that we are growing into some of those spaces. through this capability, we are talking to other state entities to look at offering civil security solutions for people to deal with the vandalism that is happening in the country. And then if we move to the next slide, there's also a summary in terms of people. As at the end of May 2023, we had 1,647 people employed in the organization. There are still planned exits in terms of retirement. There will be opportunities in terms of vacancies that we've identified as critical to the business that we need to fill. But this slide just gives you an indication of the people where we are, that we are an organization of 1,640 people as we speak today with those skills. I won't go into the detail, but just as a summary. Chair, on the back of this human resource contract is our human resource strategy going forward. And if we move to the next slide, we'll have a strong focus on reframing Danelle through the correct skill sets. I think what the restructuring that you are going through now is that with the exits that we've had, the staff complement and the skills mix was not the correct one. We are an engineering and technology company, and we need to have more high-end engineering skills than the support function. And the balance was not the correct balance. And part of the restructuring that we've done is to fix that skills mix to ensure that we have the correct skills going forward. And this will require a retraining of the internal skills, redeployment of the internal skills to the areas of needs, as well as to getting external skills, getting new people into the organization that will work with in terms of growing the business going forward. We have the technical academy, the Danelle Technical Academy, that is still within our capabilities that we will use, will reorganize and use to reskill to address some of the skills needs that we have. So with the restructuring effort that we are busy with concluding, we are establishing a core team that would be funded through annuity business contracts that we have on an annual basis that we are then able to do our workforce planning around. And also it will take care of what we call sovereign and strategic capabilities that enable the defense force to be independent through the skill sets that we have. And then because we are a project organization, there will be a need to have fixed term contract employees that will come in to execute a contract at the end of the contract. When the contract term ends, we deliver the contract of employment will also end. So this is the model that we will have going forward. It's a strong core team that supports the sovereign strategic capabilities and funded through annuity business that we would get from our different business, our different customers. Chair, I will end it here and ask my colleague to take us through the financial sustainability, but also touch on how we see the different capability areas and groupings that we've seen going forward. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, DM, and good morning to the Danelle board. In terms of Danelle's financial sustainability, as previously mentioned, the financial performance of Danelle for the last 3 years has not been at optimal level. We in 2020 had corporate revenues of 2.7 billion, and we see that in 2021 and 2022, those revenues continue to reduce, which is indicative of the operational challenges that Danelle faced during that time. This was not only just liquidity challenges, but also, you know, our ability for our employees to deliver on some of the contracts as a result of some of the constraints that they experience. In the same year of 2021 and 2022, we then see a reduction of our headcount from 2,500 employees to 1,082 in 22 and 1,670 at the end of March. And that reduction we see also takes impact when we look at the performance in terms of profitability of the business. In 2020, we saw posted a loss of 1.55 billion. We see a slight improvement in 2021 and 2022 to the tune of about 800 million loss. And then in 2023, we see an improvement of turning into profitability of 390, which is a result of the reduction in operational expenditure as well as an increase in other income in the business. The next slide, please. The solvency position had been an issue. We had been insolvent since 2020 as a result of poor liquidity and delivery in the income statement. However, in the year 2021 and 2022, we received to improve its balance sheet through the repayment of the bonds which were guaranteed by the government. Whilst this improved the solvency position, it did not necessarily address the profitability and operational challenges that were faced by DENAL. And therefore, the funding of the strategy that we spoke about became quite clear, which was a combination of the unlocking of cash from the sale of non-core assets and the recapitalization that has received. And now then, we say for stability, not only in the balance sheets, but also in the operations. At the end of the 2023 financial year, we then were able to we see to our account the amounts received from the DENAL Medical Benefit Trust as well as the recapitalization received. We then also saw an improvement in the cash position at the end of the financial year, because although in the previous year we were cash positive, that cash was really ring-fenced for a specific contract, so it was utilized to keep the business going for some of the contracts and just keep it afloat whilst we unlock other avenues of revenue and cash. So the big spike in 2023, as the DM has mentioned, is the receipt of the recapitalization that was received right at the end of the financial year. The next slide, please. Supporting the turnaround plan, it was quite critical that we were supported by a credible funding plan that would take them out from its legacy of the case into the growth phase. The recapitalization or the funding plan looked at different elements of turning the around. The key was to deal with the critical elements to stabilize the business. The growth of the business in terms of CAPEX and long-extending structural requirements in the business. Those requirements to deal with current legal and legacy obligations that were works. The members will report that the litigation. And so the combination of the to be able to deal with some of those burning issues. The recap, the funding required for restructuring the now was 5.2 billion. As mentioned by my CEO, it was 1.8 coming from the Netherlands, 3.4 from the government. That enabled us to now deal with payments of outstanding salaries, payments of some of the critical suppliers that were critical in unlocking the operations and delivery going forward. And then payments or submission of payment plans to some of our critical suppliers, particularly STAR, so that we can unlock or stabilize the tax clearance position of DENAL so that it can continue to operate. The 992 which was in when received in August allowed for the stability and the remainder of the funds will then be utilized to deal with some of the obligations that remain with some of our suppliers. The next slide. In implementing the turnaround, we were quite aggressive in terms of the further book and what we envisioned the world would look like in the next year and 24 months. Based on the market research, it was clear that there's elements of the order book that can increase internationally. So there's an aggressive increase in export orders that we expect in the next 2 years. We expect also in the next 2 years to have an increase in revenue based both on the orders that we expect to receive, as well as the orders that we have at hand and the execution of those orders. So the structural changes in the turnaround, we're really gearing to make sure that operations are able to deliver to the clients and the orders that we have in hand. Not only just delivering the revenues, we needed to make sure that we deliver to customers on a profitable margin. And we expected that those margins will increase to 20% to 25% in the year 3 of the turnaround plan, whilst improving the operational profits to 8% in year 3. We also then plan to sustain the solvency position that we have from year 1. So from year 2023, we expect to maintain the solvency position over the 3 years and show an improved debt equity ratio at acceptable industry levels for the 3 years. It's quite critical that we maintain the solvency in the debt equity ratio because that allows us then to fund our growth, not only just from reliance on the government, but both from internally and other stakeholders so that we improve growth and improve performance of the entity whilst reducing reliance from the shareholder. The next slide please. We have mentioned by Mike previously, the turnaround plan was quite clear that we needed to be client-centric in meeting the client needs. And therefore, it was quite difficult that some of the areas where we previously know that the market is looking for these products, that we quickly stabilize those businesses and show growth in the revenues over the period. The guided weapons is one of those areas where we expect significant growth based on the requests that we have received in terms of products in that environment. We're expecting an increase of 161% over the 3 year period. But now the earth capability is also showing an increase of 84%. That's linked really with concentration to the local market. I'm also assuming that in discussions with the local market, there is a review on pricing and some of the products and support that we provide so that the pricing is marketable for Denel and aligned with industry. The landlord capability is expected to see an increase of 153% in revenues over 5 years. Also take into account the market requirements and some of the products that are required from that division, as well as some of the orders that we have on hand on projects that we expect then will provide us with revenue. The one key entity that we expect significant growth is the integrated systems division, where we have been very low market share in that environment, showing revenues of only 55 million. However, based on the market research, we're finding that the typical client wants a solution that integrates all of these capabilities. They want to be able to use the guided weapon of the air and land that capability in an integrated manner. And we expect that this entity will grow in that sense, hence we're showing study growth. Also, looking at not only providing the defense environment in terms of this capability, but other civil client team in terms of providing thorough support and oversight, this capability we see that then they will provide an increased revenue to the business. So We took cognizance of the fact that we are coming from a low base. The members will recall at a point in time, Dina was making revenues of about 8 billion. We were quite conscious that not to overshoot. There's a lot of work to be done internally. And the projections of each of those divisions took into account the order books that we have on hand, as well as a conservative view of the market and what the market is looking for from Dina. Next slide, please. We have each of these divisions is expected to improve over the 5 years. However, we had to recognize that some of these divisions are coming from a very, very low base where, for instance, in the guarded weapons and industry, there's been an exodus of employees. So turning around that business and bringing it to a normalized base will take some time, not only to attracting the right skills, but just normalizing the operations and how some of the delivery will occur. Will take some time, so we expect that the guarded weapons will return to profitability in 2 years. However, the other entities, which has been Landward and Air and ISS, we expect in year one, which was the 2023, they have made losses that will return to profitability from 2024 and on. The next slide, please. The status of annual reports. Due to a number of reasons, DINAR was not able to submit annual reports for the financial years of 2021 and 2022. At the back end of 2023, we did the AD financial statement for 2021. In 31 November 2023, we submitted the financial statement for 2022 to the audit principal audit. The audit at that time could not commence because there were outstanding fees to the AD, which is subsequently tabled the payment plan. And thereafter, the audit commenced. At the end of May 2023, we also then subsequently submitted the 2023 financial year. And we have, based on the issues that we have had, the AGM, they will be auditing the 3 years concurrently. They will then advise by the end of this month when the audit will be completed, at which point then we'll be able to communicate the date of the changing up to annual report. So if you move on to the next slide, in terms of the irregular expenditure, we have a cumulative balance of irregular expenditure of 3.2 billion rand at the end of March 2023. The key challenges really that led to the irregular expenditure arose particularly from the period pre-FY 2021, which really came from, you know, misinterpretation of some of the procurement regulations and resulting misalignment of the internal supply policy to those regulations. There are inadequate procedures to deal with deviations, particularly on the single source and sole supply environment. And also the lack of skills in the procurement environment of the now. Therefore, we saw a high level of irregular expenditure dealing with deviations from competitive bidding, because really that is a space that we battle with when we have to deviate for sole suppliers and single source suppliers. The next slide, please. How we responded with that is, number one, we have to deal with the supply chain policy and alignment with the regulations. And you will see immediately from 2018, we see a significant reduction year-on-year on the irregular expenditure posted. Since 2018, we've seen a reduction of irregular expenditure by 98%. In the interim, the board commissioned an investigation of irregular expenditure pre-2018 to ensure that consequence management is actioned in terms of if there's any areas of money. However, that investigation could not be completed at the time due to the liquidity challenges. So our key forecast in 2023 and 2024 to finalize those investigations so that we can deal with as well as part of the turnaround, of course, as mentioned, to recapacitate the supply chain team procurement skills within DINAR to ensure that we have the right skills when moving forward in dealing with some of these matters, and then of course finalizing the consequence management that comes out of the investigation. The next slide. The regular expenditure for the financial year 2023 was 20.2 million rands, which was made up predominantly of two areas, deviations from competitive bidding process and tax clearances not obtained from suppliers. Based on the assessment, there was no further corruption that came out of these matters. And this really came out of the some of our products that we utilize, or some of the suppliers that we utilize, are international suppliers and our sole suppliers. They provide critical steel, critical space into our products, which, as mentioned earlier, we deliver to the SANDA. And in certain instances, we would have had to accept or have place orders on these suppliers without necessarily getting paid. There's purely because in the absence of that, we would have some of the aircraft grounded because we were not able to place these orders to the supplier. That's really just an example and a bit of context on some of the irregular expenditure in the financial year 2023. I think I've completed my to move on. Next slide, please.
Thank you, and through you, Chair. I think the priority actions and the way forward that we've determined is to is that we need to conclude on the restructuring in terms of the Labor Relations Act. Very important in terms of stability of leadership is the process that the board is running with to appoint a group chief executive officer, a group chief financial officer, as well as a chief audit executive. To the chief audit executive is coming in to strengthen internal controls and working closely with the audit and risk committee, as well as the rest of the executive leadership in terms of the entities, the four capability areas that we've spoken about, getting people with the right skills to carry and move the we are monitored on an ongoing basis, on a monthly basis, by both DPE and the National Treasury with the DOD and AMSCO to deliver on the sale of non-core assets, what we've identified as non-core assets, because it forms part of that 1.8 billion that we've identified as part of the thing required to take the mail forward. So it's important that we realize the balance of the 800 million through the sale of non-core assets. That also unlocks the 45% of the recap funds that today is not available for utilization. As we sell these assets, it also unlocks the other funding from the recap. We are expediting the rebuilding of the NEL through a focus on normalizing the employee environment, having a value proposition that will attract the right skills. We are making some progress in terms of attracting some of the skills that we would have lost in the past. We've brought them in as contractors. We will normalize that through the appointment of the critical vacancies. It's mainly contractors for now because we need to conclude on the Section 189A process that we are busy with. Very importantly, as part of sustaining the business going forward, is to realize the opportunity pipeline that we spoke about in terms of the 30 billion. We need to go and get those new orders into the business so that we diversify the revenue base that we don't have sole dependence on the South African National Defence Force, but that we have export revenue coming in and also contribute to the balance of payment as well. We are an engineering organization. It's important that we keep up to pace with technology as it evolves. So very importantly, as part of our operations, we need to invest in research and development, either through own funding or through customer funding, which is a model that we've used in the past. The Department of Defense plays a key role in that, but we don't want to have sole reliance on the Department of Defense. We need to be able to fund our own R&D as well. So it's going to be a key focus as we develop corporate plans going forward, provide guidelines in terms of research and development and the funding thereof. Over the years, of the challenges that the business has had, we've had a backlog in terms of maintenance of some of the key equipment that we have, as well as CapEx, where we needed to invest in CapEx. Part of the funding from the recapitalization funds is to utilize some of those funds towards the CapEx. Key capabilities like the overbed test range in the Western Cape, we need to renew some of the tracking systems that we have there to ensure that we continue to attract the expert or foreign clients that we have attracted to date. We need to keep pace with technology. And I think as part of last year, as part of the operational excellence, improved collections from sales and reinvestment in the business, that is going to ensure sustainability of the business going forward and continuously improving in terms of operational excellence, in terms of governance of the business. So Chair, that sums up our presentation to the committee and the honourable members. I don't know if the board chair wants to summarise as well. Thank you.
No, my thanks very much. I don't need to summarise anything. Well done. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
No, thank you very much. Chairperson, and thank you as well to the DM, the acting CEO. This has been a very detailed presentation, which gives not just a global picture, but the issues which are obtaining in your performance and your plans, as well as the implementation of your turnaround. Let me now ask the members to engage and interact with this presentation. And also maybe to comment questions. Honorable members, this is now the opportunity for you to raise your hands if you want to speak on this or if you want to ask questions on this. I note the hand of Honorable Bibi, Honorable Modise. In that order, Honorable Members, and we also have Honorable Magwala and Honorable Ngwenya. Let's start with you, Honorable Mukausa.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I hope I'm audible enough. Yeah, Chairperson, our suspicions is that Denel claims that they're in a better position because they are selling what is so-called non-strategic assets. Chair, this process is illogical and senseless because it is not possible that a company with so many assets like them and those assets do not play a positive and meaning in the company. Chair, this thing of calling assets of state-owned companies is a language actually that leads or speak to privatization in a way. The fact of the matter is that by selling assets, you are reducing, Chairperson, the capacity that will later lead to Denel not being able to fulfill its primary function. My question is then, is there engagement, Chairperson, between the Minister of Public Enterprise internally with Denel to privatize Denel Chair? This is a very straightforward question. And I hope they are not going to just be disappointed about it, because the way they are, even their presentation, Denel is going towards privatization. Secondly, Chair, Denel used to have book order. In some instances, we were told that they cannot deliver because of liquidity issues. We always maintained that Denel must look into occupying other strategic manufacturing, such as manufacturing of safe ambulances for the state, or even security vehicles, because there is a lot of intellectual capacity within Denel. Unless we are saying that the last people who did anything research and development within Denel were under apartheid government. I'm glad to hear that person. Chairperson, it also looks like there never a really appetite to retain the skills within Denel. The presentation itself points out that there is a lot of skills to markets that Denel couldn't compete with. How many of those strategies are there still not filled, which can put Denel in a better position if filled, Chairperson? And I'm asking, what were your thoughts in trying to maintain or retain the skills that you lost within the company? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mkausa. I will now give the opportunity to Honourable B. Mama.
Thank you very much, Baba. Good morning. Good morning to the DM, and also our members. Chairperson, I've got two questions. The other one, it seems to be similar with Honourable Mkausa's question. But nevertheless, am I audible?
Sorry about that, TV. Honourable Modisa, can you please switch off your microphone? Mute.
Okay, thank you very much, Baba. This question, Chairperson, since you lost a number of your personnel with critical skills in the past few years, now how has this affected your turnaround plan, and how important it is to have these critical skills you lost for your turnaround plan to succeed? And the second question, Chairperson, should be, in your presentation, you talk about structure, and to me, it means like you'll be retraining some of your staff. Can you make it clear to me how you plan to retrench staff whilst also you need critical skills performance. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Those are my two questions. Thank you.
Now we're going to invite Honorable Modise. Honorable one, the floor is yours.
No, thank you, Mr. Pan. And my apologies for not muting my mic before. Chair, let me welcome the presentation from Nelly. Let me greet the Deputy Minister and my colleagues on the platform. Chair, I have one question. I just want to check with Dineel, how many employees within Dineel that have been through investigation identified as vulnerable or involved in state capture activities? And then secondly, have they been any money recovered to date that has been lost through the state capture activities? If so, how much is that money rent or in dollars, in anything that you can tell us? At least by this time, we have recovered all the funds. Thank you very much. Lastly, and if after recovering the money, what are you doing with the same people that were involved in those corrupt activities? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Modise. We'll now give the opportunity to Honorable Magwala. Honorable Magwala, you can take to the podium. Honorable Magwala, please.
Sorry, Chairperson. Sorry, Chair. I'm sorry to land off, to be taken. Very important. Thank you for waiting. Let me first read the DM and read the Chairperson and the CFO, and thank you for the. See you. Thank you for the presentation. Mine is to ask the debtors that you are speaking about, the sense of your debtors to your own. How are you in terms of the debtors, in terms of filling them 100%? I know that you mentioned the salary, in terms of salary. That it made the settlement agreement in terms of paying those things. Also, can you just give us a percentage in terms of how far and how long are those settlements? How far? What is the percentage that we have already covered so far? And then the DM in his opening remarks spoke about the OCFO. I want to know, when would the department of the company make this post permanent, because it's very much permanent when you are trying to recruit company help. And then, so in terms of the of your turnaround strategy, I don't know, maybe if I missed it. If the turnaround strategy does not work in some of the assets or some of the parts, do you have a secondary? Because it's not always that plan A will always work. We have a secondary strategy. Remember, Nell was nearly the speaker. We have very much to fund this. We want our SOEs to land up funding very well. And I will ask you that. For Dineel, it's sustainable now that it will never ask for any more bailouts from the National Treasury. Do you think you still need more bailouts from the National Treasury, or you plan to out of all. Thank you very much, Chairperson. That is my two cents.
Thank you, Makwana. We'll start with Mamu Wenya. Mamu Wenya, we give you the time now to interact with the board.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to all the members and the department. And also, Chair, thank you for giving me this opportunity to recognize me. I also like to thank the presentation. First, I have the following question. My first question is on governance. What is about if the board is still intact? And if yes, how many members does the board have as today? Also, I wanted to know that are there any vacancies in the board? And if yes, what is the vacancy rate? The second question, Chair, is on board committees. I want to check how many standing committees does the board has? And what are the names of those committees? Are the board members able to attend all the board committees? The question, Chairperson, is on human resource scorecard. The organization. Chair, I want to check why there is only 27% of a representative in if this is true, this is not I want to check, Chair, why there is 27% of women representation in DNA. If this is true, this is not acceptable. Chairperson, women constituted the majority of the population in this country, and women must be well present in DNL. The fourth question, Chair, I want to check how is DNL planning to secure the critical skills needed, and what plans were in place to avoid grass staff turnover in future? And Chair, on the Commission, I want to know how is DNL planning to deal with the loss of critical intellectual property to competitors. Thank you, Chairperson. I'll pause for now and wait for the response. Thanks very much, Chair.
Masibonga Mamungwenya kakhulu with those five questions. Sibulele kakhulu. DM, as well as the board chair and the acting CEO, these are the questions which are placed by the members for you. From my side, let me express my appreciation to this elaborate presentation. I think we have to appreciate the role that you have played this far to ensure that you save one of the assets of our nation, DNL. This company is one of the companies that we have always tied ourselves with. And we're quite concerned when we heard that it was also veering off the track. Today, you are giving us hope and optimism that you have managed to salvage DNL. The extent that you are now on the trajectory of bringing back its glory. And you are giving us an assurance that you are on the right path to take it to its glorious years. So this is very important for us. It's quite comforting. And I think we have to make that appreciation because it's beginning to work that year after year, we hear an SOE or SOC that it is going down the drain. This one, as you have said, Board Chairperson, that it is a company that is operating at an international level and it competes with the best aerospace and defense companies in the world. And therefore, you had to do what you have done to ensure that indeed it is saved from collapse. When I heard on the news yesterday, I actually heard you, Chair, I think you, it was after your interaction with the National Assembly, that one of the deals which went wrong was in relation to partnership that you had with a UAE-based outfit, which you said that one that caused real worry to the financial position of Dinel. So my question will stick back there. Do you still have that partnership in place, given the fact that it was an abusive partnership, to say the least, in the sense that it almost liquidated Dinel? Is there still a relationship that you have with them, or you have completely divorced yourselves from that outfit? The second question is that in the country, if I heard you correctly, is that one of your clients is the Department of Defense. And I wanted to check if, do you have that client, the country that you interact with? The Department of Defense is one. Do you also have an interaction of that nature of military veterans? And secondly, given the fact that South Africa is a member state to the BRICS countries, this is a very opportune market, biggest perhaps in the world, where you could be tapping in. Are you having some products that you are doing, either where you provide some of your products or even services to countries like Brazil, China, India, as well as Russia? Because I'm sure you could be profiting if you were to exploit the fact that you have such a large catchment in countries, and these are solid economies which are quite very prominent and instrumental in the global geopolitics. No question will be only be based on those two. Otherwise, as I have indicated, we really appreciate the fact that you are on the right trajectory. And it would also be nice if I were to put it differently, one of the questions which was asked by one of the honorable members. Do you have any intention to have private strategic partners? And if that is the case, can you provide details? Because the country takes Dinel as a national asset, as I have indicated, and therefore we would be worried if these organizations would, in the final analysis, be privatized. Actually, we are against the privatization of the national assets. So it would be great if you can give us clarity on that question, because it is a daunting question, and it is a worrying issue that organizations like these, that are not only meant to make profits, but they are also meant primarily to deal with the development of our society. So we need to strike a balance, therefore, between the two, and not only focus on one aspect of your original mandate. DM, we will now give you the opportunity to respond together with the board chair and the acting CEO. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and to honorable members for your questions. The only one question that is directed at the shareholder, which is raised by Honorable House, and you've just qualified yourself now around the issue of the responding to it, because there are causes we have qualified them now. We are not selling any state-owned entities. and Denel is not on sale either. That has been an honest response, and Denel remains the 100% owned, state-owned company registered. But Denel, like all other companies, is operating in a very competitive space. And then we then agreed as policy and as government across is to have what you strategic partnerships. And a strategic partner is not selling any, they don't take ownership or a percentage of their shares in a state-owned company. And the only incident is the one of SAA, as you know. It was in business, going for liquidation. And then whatever then was going to happen, either it goes down and out, or get a vote that salvation. And unfortunately, those people were negotiated. In as far as Denel is concerned, maybe because the agenda is more on Denel. And that one was just an example of if a company is in a business rescue. And Denel nearly went into business rescue, and it could have gone either way. And thanks to your misfortune that from time to time might visit, and we hope I've learned our lessons that is not okay any time again. And therefore, Denel is not being privatized. It can enter into strategic partnership. Some of them have been alluded to, where they have 49% of shares on this or that, and so forth. So those are strategic on a particular project. That will they will then go in together with whoever in that project, but it does not mean taking shares anywhere in deal. And I know the workers are also raising that they are worried, as you are organized labor and all South Africans. We can show you that Denel remains a state-owned company, but it will enter into strategic relations and strategic partnership then when where we feel the relationship is beneficial to the interests of the country, to the benefit of the company, and then to the benefit of the shareholder as a state, and then so forth. With that, I hope therefore that it but that will give that one answer. Denel is not being privatized at all, but strategic partnership. We will explain they'll be as open, they'll be as transparent, and then later whether they are permanent, whether they are for a period, we'll also engage on and we'll also speak on what exactly and why that strategic partnership is for and what are the objectives and so forth. So, Chair, I think that was the question that I wanted to respond, but just as I conclude to the issue of the countries, around some of the engagement and some of the sales they've done with other companies and so forth. But what I want to refer members to is the National Commission on Arms Control Committee that is in existence. And that is regulating where to sell your arms and not to sell your arms. Specific just in the law, which is a parliamentary law, it's that we can't sell anything to any outfits wherever they exist. So Denel will be prohibited from doing so. And then also any country that is in a war with another country. And Denel will also be prohibited from to such a country that in conflict with another, and therefore in the BRICS, obviously there is a situation as you know it now in Europe Russia and Ukraine, where the battles happening in Ukraine by the NATO forces. And therefore, if that occurrence comes and there's a request to buy, will not be, because we get the permit also from that Arms Control Committee, chaired by Minister Ngubele as we speak now, and they are the ones who will then give the permit or no permit. And it's also class A that the group CEO will explain to you on what to sell and not what to live in within that arm. South Africa chose that path, and we are following the law ourselves, and because this is what we do in the very, very competitive environment, as you have said. And therefore, issues that are not in conflict with others, definitely we are pursuing engagement, even those that are outside BRICS, those that are going to join. Then we're looking at all markets across. And in Brazil, I think they'll also give you the figure and also what we're selling in Brazil. We are selling what in Brazil for us. And so that advantage is there. We are expanding the market, and we'll be expanding the market, but guided by the Arms Control Convention Committee and all any dictates of the law of South Africa. Thank you very much, Chair, and probably I'll leave this to the Chair and the management. Thank you.
Chairperson, you want to know, you want to allow the CEO to first come and then you do the concluding?
No, let me take them now, Chairman, and then the bulk of the questions will be answered by the management. So the first question I wanted to deal with is to add to what the Deputy Minister has just said, and confirm that as this board, we do not have the mandate from the department to privatize the NAL. That is factual. And so it's a vote project for the shareholder to privatization of the two as to which is almost for us in the
the rest of the world. That's not a prestigious expertise that's required, is it? And so the actual retained skills, we cannot have that if we want to get that letter. Because we were friends or listeners, it must be because I was a listener there. So we need to have this to retain internally and make it able to show that the actual skills. Just have to do the right thing and make sure they have work to do. So every effort to retain the skills is actually in our hands. There's a second question I wanted to deal with, which is about I should say at this point, the last thing we need is to come back and look for bailouts. Even for our own egos now, really, it would be very embarrassing if we were to actually have to come back and do that. The place where we are, we have been given a chance to breathe again. And that chance, we're going to use it every possible to make sure that we're not only sustainable, but we're doing what any shareholder is looking for, which is at some stage dividends and all that. And so I think we have no plan whatsoever to have to come back to look for bailouts and so on and so on. The fact that we could get out of this dark hole with support of government, with the support of this committee and everyone, with prayers somewhere, means that we cannot betray none of these people now. We have to do right by them. And take the nail to where it is supposed to be, mindful that there's many challenges, and we're mindful of that. There's a question on the issue of governance. Is the board in charge? Yes, the board is in charge. How many members? Currently, we have 8 members, including the CEO and the CFO. We have asked, and we've been given permission by the department, that we can source 2 more board members. We're looking for specific skills on engineering and production and product management, that kind of skill. We're going to look for that, and we'll submit it to them when we do that. That will then make it 10 board members when we do get them. The committees, one committees with specific statutory committees is the audit committee, to meet risk audit and risk committee. We also have the Social and Ethics Committee, both statutory committees. And then we have a third one, which is the Human Resources Committee. So we process the issue of appointment, skills, and all of that. The committees are fully intact and are fully functional, even with a small board. Those boards are fully attended and taken care of. That is why you can see in this report that what the Thank you. But in all of that, I can only be called this thing. It only happened because the attendance is intact. With our young proxy, how to lost someone, how to get back, and what's the best way to do that. And we, that is not an ISU exercise. Okay, Chairman, I still have answer. The answer is yes, we still have that partnership. We are walking a fine line there. And that partnership, the reason it was formed, that region still remains. That region is very important to us. The challenges we have with partnership, we are dealing with them, but we're dealing with them parallel to also strengthening the partnership by making sure that we have our strongest board members there to take care of the next legislative board members to be in the situation to make sure that those lapses are not happening. Remember that, Chairman, part of the leakage in there is that sometimes our own representative board members in those UAE partnerships actually approved some of the things. Those are SIU exercises. And so, yes, the partnerships are in place because the reason for the partnerships is still intact. We have issues. We're dealing with those issues parallel with the help of SIU as well. But the relationship itself with UAE is critical, and just this partnership is very important for that. I hope I'm answering your concern there about why would we still keep them and how do we manage. Our own thing now has got to deal with the risks that came previously have been mitigated by putting in there our strongest board representatives into the partnership, because we need that partnership for that region. Is very critical. Also, Chairman, there's another issue there that I need to put there, is that in a country like the UAE, our government is keen on the relationship itself. And so as Danel, we have to be a front line in making sure that those relationships are made to work. And the fact that there were lapses before, we can only take care of that risk, but deal we should do. Because government to government, the relationship with UAE is very strong, and we have to make it work. DM has spoken about the BRICS membership. Of the BRICS, the current BRICS, it's India and Brazil that we have had dealings with. But Mike will speak a little bit more on that. But I think that membership is important for Danel too, in terms of benefiting from it and do what we can to benefit from that. I think there was something about private strategic partners. Do we have any plans for that? Yes, Chairman. For things that we need as specific partners, because we have to deliver specific things. And so if we need a high technological partner in something, we will do that. But the most thing here, Chairman, is that we also answer the question that what is the plan for Ramlon, the non-core assets? Are we in the place because we're selling non-core assets? No, that's not the reason we're selling the non-core assets. What is non-core? Debate is strong within DPE. We have a very good relationship with AMSCO. We debate that very strongly. And so the because sometimes the defense will say, we do not want to depend on so-and-so to get our bully, for example. Because we can say, we say, this is the real life in this, for South Africa. So what we describe the NAMCO is usually related in this cell of Department of Defense, AMCO, DPE, then leave Mike to answer the rest of the things that I've just said. I just want to ask the question directly. We have no mandate to privatize now. We have not received from government for the people to privatize.
Thank you, Chaplain. I'm smiling even then. I wish you answered the question. So even if you are given the mandate, don't do it.
Chaplain, you are out of order.
What that it creates stability
in the business going forward through leadership. Honorable Nguyenya, I think most of the questions were answered by my the issue of representativity, it remains a concern for us as well. I think our demographic of the organization has changed and is in our first going forward. What we've even requested that it may was to conclude on the current restriction plan, we can define a that looks at the ethnographic organization, how we shifted towards the representing what the population of South Africa looks like. So it's an area where we have to go for the around I think the issue of skills that need to be given, and I think that is those kind of questions of missing. I've asked my colleague to touch the other issues. Thank you, Janet.
Thank you, Mike. I'm sure that the thing I want to do with is around the audit and execution around the order book. At the end of March 2023, the order book was close to 9 billion. It's geared toward the landward vision, so the bulk of that order book is geared to the landward. And the expectation was the forecast by the businesses to improve the order book of guided missions. ISS and the AA capability. We expect the execution of the order to span of the 8 billion as it stands to span over the next 3 to 5 years. And in intervening in those years, then we'll be chasing some of the orders that we are aware of, looking at the markets and what we know the, you know, our potential clients are looking at. So in terms of the payment of settling of all outstanding creditors, When we received the recap, we were quite cognizant that we obviously, number one, there were conditions that they received with the recap. Number two, we were quite clear, as the chair has said, that we would not want to go back to the shareholder for additional funds. So we number three, we needed to make sure that we resuscitate the businesses themselves so that they can turn around cash. So the plan was to phase the payments of creditors in line with that, to pay creditors, number one, that your SMEs has been affected by denied liquidity, so we needed to do that. And then the next phase will be to deal with those that have been out of the business now. We need to get the next 6 months. Today, we dealt with
the Department of Defense. What are entities are we dealing with? We previously provide solutions. We also support the Southern Police Service through our ammunition plant, where we do some of the things that they need. And we've previously supported them with their helicopters. And it's an area that we've, there's other areas that we've identified in the SAPS that we could support. And through this of the shareholder with the minister, we have had engagements with the Minister of Police, with the Minister of Home Affairs around the Border Management Authority and constitution of the Border Management Authority. Additional to that, I did mention that we are working with the other sources, especially some of those sources that have the key infrastructure that needs to be secured, to look at some of the solutions that we have in terms of affecting the security of the infrastructure for the economy. And the this relationship, as the chairperson of the board has mentioned, India is a market that we previously delivered on, that we opened back in 2018, that we are engaging with in terms of one continuing to supply some of the products that that we have supplied them before, then looking at the new opportunities that they have, and it's an area of focus in terms of our business development strategy. Brazil, under the Department of Defense, we did a joint development of what we call a fifth generation missile with the Brazilians, and we completed on the development. The next phase of it is to look at their requirements, particularly for that missile, and how we partner with them in terms of the production of the missile for their aircraft going forward. I think just to also support what the chair said about, the chair of the board said about IP management process. So what we've also done actually is we are working very closely to refine the IP register, because the IP, the bulk of the IP is joint ownership of this IP. Going forward, this will be an item of audit on an ongoing basis. And then we, through the MOU that I mentioned earlier, where we find areas of IP exploitation, and we jointly manage it with AMSCO to ensure that we don't have losses that we may have had in the past. So we have strengthened companies around the management of IP. Chair, I think those were the questions that we have responded to. The rest, as we said, we will provide written submissions to the committee where we don't have the information readily available. Thank you.
Now, I can say to the chair of the board as well as the DF members. I'm not sure if you do want to have a second bite, because matters are exhaustive matters. And as the acting CEO says, that they will make a submission to answer some of the statistics and other information that they don't have at hand right now. If there is no follow-up question, I see Honorable Magwala has raised his hand. And is that a legal hand or it's a question? Okay, Honorable Magwala.
Oh, okay. Understand. Thank you for answering all questions.
Maybe we should then ask that those details pertaining to the numbers and the aspects should be part and parcel of what will be submitted in a written form. Maybe it's you who was far from the speaker, because we could hear everything that she says. Just for the spirit of delaying the meeting, in mind that we can ask that information should be submitted.
No, I don't.
Oh, all right. Okay, thank you. Chairperson, just make the thing short on your side. That these three critical posts which you intend to fill, maybe just to give us a time frame as to when you will fill the position of the CEO, the CEO, and the chief audit officer. It would be great if you know. And the other thing that I am keen to know is perhaps what are the terms and conditions of how you are offsetting the non-core assets so that we ensure that they remain in the ownership of the South Africans currently. We do have specific conditions attached on how we sell them to say that dearly it would be great if they are sold to entities that belong to South Africa or to South African citizens. In the sense that because, you know, the economy is a very dynamic, instrument. So better when you sell them to South Africans so that maybe in future, even if it's after 10 years or 15 years, you may see the need to take back. It is easier to negotiate with fellow citizens than to negotiate people who come from elsewhere in the world. And just give us that kind of a comfort. Because as part and parcel of transformation, they may be assets in terms of your core business, but they may remain assets in terms of country. So in that context, it would be great if things are sold to foreign entities, but rather to South Africa primarily, and maybe then Africans in general.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I think first question on the CEO and CFO, our best board has in mind a deadline of like October 23 for those positions to be filled. The sooner also or the better. Because the turnaround plan really should be driven by that leader or those leaders that the process actually throws at us in terms of the CEO, CFO, HR director, audit executive, so on, right? So our ideas deadline as the board is over, but through the board process. Because these are foreigners here. So they are driven by the board committee itself. So I would imagine that because it's a board idea date and driven by the board committee, that date should be met. And if there are challenges, we will highlight them as we go along. What we did have as a problem before was people knowing that we may not be able to pay salaries, and so the best of the people who wanted to come here wouldn't apply. Now we're saying that is no longer the issue. We're a normal company now with a normal salary payroll and all that. And so we should have the best response to these adverts and requirements. And so our deadline is October 23. I'm left to meet a serious speaker. Hopefully not. On the issue of the non-core assets, where it go, I'll give an example of a non-core asset, for example. So a property owned by RDM, which is owned 49% by Danel, and 51% by Rain Metal. And that joint venture is doing very well in terms of business. Ideally, that property, which is currently owned by Adenel, is probably best owned by that venture, DM. I'm giving that as an example. What really practically it does is that it moves us from being 100% owner of that property, and it is owned by RDM, of which we are 49%. So as a property, it's non-core now. We don't need that to do what's done by RDM. But RDM, the business, needs it. And so if we never on the general side, maybe on the RGM side, it is cool. It's just a flavor of what can possibly happen in the chairman. So back to leaving things in the hands of South Africans, we do have those things. BEE is one of those. Local peace is one of those, and so on and so on. Of course, if the South African gives us 5 rand for that asset, and the Brazilian business gives us a billion, I think South Africans will kill us again now if we went for the 5 rand and let go of the billionaires. But that's a conversation to be had at the time. But ideally, and I agree with you, that first prize is if these remain in the hands of the South Africans. Let's a serious reason for going the other route. We're mindful of that. Just to emphasize again, Chairman, that if you say something is non-core as general, once the Department of Defense says, because it's a national asset, as an example, I'm just giving that as an example, because that property is a national key point, whatever that description is, the defense, they would not like to see it sitting in anyone's hands, including private sector in South Africa. We will listen very carefully, and because we are a sensitive company, that's the thing. But we do our best to release money where it's trapped unnecessarily. So, like most of these enterprises, they have printing businesses, they have catering businesses, you don't need that. So all those things must go. And of course, they still get debated. So first, I want to chairman that we won't be reckless on this non-core thing at all. Thank you.
Okay, Monga Gakolo, Slalo. I think now you have provided the answers, all the key questions which were posed by the members. On behalf of the committee, I wish to express my sincere thanks to the Deputy Minister, Obela, the Chairperson of the Board of DINEL, Ms. Gloria Serobe, as well as the Acting CEO and the entire team of the members of the executive. We really appreciate coming to this upper house of parliament to brief the members. We really appreciate again the fact that you have turned the corner and you are turning around DINEL and are giving a sense to this committee, but to the nation, that this organization will be in its seat, fully fledged, functioning optimally, efficiently, and effectively, and you are taking it to its glorious days. We wish you all the best. You can count on us to support. We're going to keep in touch with you. This is the last interaction that we have from time to time as part and parcel of us exercising oversight over the executive and also monitoring the performances of these entities. We'll reach out from time to time to ensure that that which is expected by our people is accomplished. Siyabonga kakhulu, sekela mphathiswa, sibonga kusihlalo, sibulele kakhulu, siyile committee egameni le-SOP, siyabonga kakhulu. Singanikhulula ngoku, ndicinga into yobana sibonga namhlanje.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Honorable members, we will move with speed because we took a little bit longer, we had almost 15 minutes before the sitting of the plenary. Each of the minutes of our last meeting, we were looking into the issue of the adoption of the bill relating to the bank, the post bank, being separated from post office, and to have now a bank controlling it. These are the minutes that I would like us to look at. They are already flighted on the screen. Members, scroll there on credential.
Sir?
Yes?
Yes, we have received minutes on time, and then I also went with the minutes. I'm divided with the minutes. Can I move for the adoption of the minutes?
By all means, just moving the chief of these minutes. Do we have a seconder?
Mwenya seconder, Chair.
Umamu Mwenya is seconding the adoption of the minutes. Now the minutes have been duly adopted. And thank you very much, members. That was the second item on the agenda. Amanda, do we have another statement?
No, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much. Members, that's it. I think that we're very efficient today, and I want to thank you, the man which you raised all those questions. It's a very, very critical meeting to act with one of the biggest resources in the country, which is one of the central outfits that are in asset to the Republic. I think they have given us comfort. And they are really honest and truthful and sincere in what they are telling us. But I know Maria Sirov very well. As you know, she was also leading the fund, she did several work, the work accomplished, and we are confident that her team is actually going to take this company back to its glory as well. I want to thank you, members, and say that the meeting now stands adjourned. We will meet at the floor of the House at 2 p.m. Thank you very much, members.
Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you, Bye. Baba.
Thank you.
Baba. Go see Swiss.